ओम नमो भगवते। ओम नमो भगवते। टुडे इन दी स्टडी सर्कल I was told to concentrate on some questions that I received. Related with our new published book, the Bhagavad Gita and Integral Yoga. So in integral yoga, this mother gave importance to action. So whatever truths are revealed in the Bhagavad Gita, the mother, without reading them, mother had the descent of the same knowledge from her very childhood. So Sri Aurobindo gave importance that that in integral yoga the base is just bhakti yoga and karma yoga. They are the base foundation of each yoga, because the jnana yoga can only be pursued by few people, only can pursue the jnana yoga. So the questions I received, this first five questions are these: that who is the doer of work, then the second question is what is the divine work, third is the what is the ordinary work, and the fourth is that is there any difference between the two, the ordinary work and the divine work? Then fifth is what are the nature of the divine worker? So the first question is that who is the doer of work? Who does the work? So here here the problem of work has come to the front. So man generally does work by the pressure of three gunas. So when he does the work by the pressure of three gunas, then the doer of work is his ego, is the doer of work. Then when he ascends in consciousness, when his psychic being opens, then his spiritual being opens, then in the long run the supramental being opens, then the doer of work changes. So when his psychic being opens, the doer of work is this executive's psychic mother, is the doer of work. And when his spiritual being opens, the mediatrix spiritual mother is the doer of work. And when his supramental being opens, then the creatrix divine mother is the doer of works. So the when the psychic mother is having four personalities, similarly the spiritual mother is also having four personalities, and the supramental mother is also having four personalities. So when the doer of work changes from three gunas to the psychic mother, then the capacity to do work multiplies. First, we should know that why the how we are related with work. So first, we should know that this creation, this whole creation is created by the Creator, the Divine. So we all are living in the house of the Divine. This creation is His home, Divine's home. So whatever we do and whatever we think and whatever we love, that we have to do exclusively for the Creator, for the Divine. That means we have to consecrate everything. Whatever work we'll do, we have to consecrate. Whatever thought we think, whatever knowledge visits us, that is, we have to consecrate. Whatever association, whatever love we experience, that we have to consecrate to the Divine. If we have any separative identity in work and in thought and in our love, then in the Bhagavad Gita's language, they are called the thieves, rubber thieves. That means, see, we cannot do any work excluding the divine. We cannot think anything except excluding the divine. We cannot love anybody excluding the divine. So all our thought, all our thinking process and all our association, everything are directed towards the divine. That is true living. And if we exclude the divine from our life, from our action, from our thought, then that is identified in the Bhagavad Gita as sthena. Thief. So in that light, we have to shun our separative identity, and we have to experience our psychic oneness with the divine, spiritual oneness, then universal oneness, then the supramental oneness. So the more we ascend in the consciousness, our separative identity will drop. So the question is here that when we ascend in consciousness, the doer of work changes. So when psychic being is opened, then the executrix, psychic mother force, that become active, and that psychic soul force is having fourfold soul forces. They are Brahma Shakti, Kshetra Shakti, then Vaishya Shakti and Shudra Shakti. And in yoga, we have to reconcile them. So if we reconcile them, then that will lead us towards perfection of the psychic force. Psychic mother power action will be perfect. Similarly, when our spiritual being opens, we will be open towards the mediatrix spiritual mother force. They are Maheshwari, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi and Mahasaraswati. They are the door of work. So door of work also means that Mahasaraswati is the door of work, and Mahalakshmi harmonizes the work, and Mahakali brings swiftness in the work, and Maheshwari reconciles the action with knowledge. And similarly, we are having fourfold creatrix mother power. They are called Truth Supreme, then Power Supreme, then Supreme Delight, then Will Supreme. There are four. These four creatrix mother powers are defined in Savitri. So in simple term, in the Bhagavad Gita's term, we will understand that when we will ascend in our consciousness, then the universal self will be universal nature will be the doer of the work. And when we will still more ascend, more go upward, then the divine will be the doer of work. So the ego will be the doer of work, then the universal nature will be the doer of the work, para prakriti. Then that universal nature, beyond the universal nature is the divine will, and divine will is the doer of work. Then the next question is, what is the divine work and what is ordinary work? So, ordinary work is born out of the desire and ego. And when one lives in three gunas, he is having a motive, and whatever he does the work in three gunas, that is ordinary work. In ordinary work, the three gunas will become active. What is divine work? Then divine work is that when we practice this self-control, this rejection of lower nature, then we attain equality. If we attain equality, that is the condition of surrender, and if we practice surrender, then we experience divine union. And when the divine union, through the divine union, some manifestation, some work is born. When there will be divine union, there will be activation of the divine will, divine wisdom, and divine love. And that divine, that out of that union, whatever divine will is activated, that will manifest in the world, that is called divine work. So what is ordinary work? Ordinary work, if you will do, will be tired after some time. But the divine work is that if one will do the work, then he will not feel tired. He will feel that a force in him is doing all the work, a Shakti is doing all the work, and he is not doing any work. So there is a key of this Karma Yoga is that there is a key that we have always to remember, that key. What is the key of the Karma Yoga? Mayi Sarvani Karmani Sannyasa. This is Sri Aurobindo identified as the key of Karma Yoga. That means we will renounce everything inwardly, and outwardly we will do all action. And through inner renunciation, if we will do outer action, then we will arrive at absolute surrender, and through that absolute surrender, we will experience the comprehensive divine union, Samagraṁ Māṁ. That is possible. So if we want to do divine work, then first, what is the condition that we have to this? Bhagavad Gita speaks that our mind should be silent, so we have to practice the self-control of the Bhakti Yoga. Sorry, self-control of the Sankhya. Buddhi Yoga we have to practice. If we will practice Buddhi Yoga, that means we have to renounce, persistently we have to renounce the lower nature, and persistently we have to practice surrender. Then that is Buddhi Yoga. Then we'll attain Samadhi, waking Samadhi. Waking Samadhi means that our mind is pacified. Then we are having equality in our frontal nature. Then we are in Samadhi state, that is Samadhi state. And if we live in Samadhi and if we will do that work, then that is divine work. If our gunas are active and if we do any work, then there is a motive in the work, then that is ordinary work. So if we want to do divine work, then we have to practice both this rejection and conscription. So in integral yoga gives importance to rejection of the lower nature. If our intellect is purified, it will help to practice rejection persistently. If we practice this rejection persistently, then we will attain equality. Equality is the condition of surrender, and through that surrender, we will experience divine union. And when we will be united, then there will be action. So divine action is of two types, the objective and subjective. When the objective work ends, the subjective work begins. So the action will be ceaseless. That means when objective work, ends, then the subjective work begins. When subjective work ends, the objective action begins. So one will also arrive at a state in which the both subjective and objective action will take place. That is why in integral yoga it is said that integral yoga begins with dvija, twice born souls. Twice born souls means that is psychic or spiritual being which has taken birth, then is fit for doing integral yoga, twice born soul. So if a soul is twice born, then he will experience double evolution of consciousness. One is outer evolution and one is inner evolution. And that inner evolution will be ceaseless, and it will continue during the sleep time also, and also in waking time also it will continue. And it is not dependent on outer slow evolution of the surface mind, surface vital and body. So if one is a dvija, then he will, while doing all the work, so the Gita speaks that not to renounce work at any stage. So same thing also the integral yoga speaks that he has to do work all. He will not renounce work. He will do all work for the sake of the divine, sarva karmani. He has to learn how all the work can be, all work can be transformed into divine union. And even in integral yoga given importance that the smallest work can be used as means for the highest divine experience. That is very important. We have to note that smallest action can be turned into the means, can be a means. Smallest action can be a means through consecration for the highest divine experience. These are the hints from Savitri. In our body's cells, there sits a hidden power that sees the unseen and plans eternity. Our smallest part have the room for deepest needs. There too the golden messengers can come. A door is caught in the mud wall of self. Then another is there. Its supreme self's absence left the greatest actions dull. This supreme self's presence made the smallest seem divine. When it was there, the heart's abyss was filled. That means, if the supreme self, if through the smallest work we can call down the supreme self, and if the supreme self is called down, then whatever abyss surrounding the heart, whatever negative energies, the desired souls are there surrounding the world, they are also fulfilled by the touch of the supreme self. So the speciality of integral yoga that we can we have to consecrate all our work, all our knowledge, all our love. We have to consecrate, practice consecration, and we have to begin from the smallest work. The smallest work is given most. So there is a line from this King Ashwapati, that his smallest beginnings asked for a mighty end. So this should be our motive, that if we think very small thing, if we note down very small thing, if that is a support of the divine, then it will be end in a mighty, it will end like a mighty banyan tree it will become. So similarly, suppose we have started study circle, suppose. If we do it truly like a Prakriti Jagya, then the force will descend and one day it will be a mighty banyan tree, this study circle will be. Same thing, all the action, all the thought, all the love, even a small love, if it is supported by the divine, then it will be, one day it will grow into a mighty banyan tree. So always from the small thing, if we do the consecration rightly, then its importance is immeasurable. Its importance is immeasurable. So now we have discussed what is the importance of work, ordinary work and divine work. So all separative work, all work with any motive is ordinary work, and when we renounce the fruit of work, then that becomes the divine work. Karma phala tyaga samata samarpana iti karma yoga. So divine work is defined that if we renounce the fruit of work and enter equality and practice surrender, then that is karma yoga. And that is divine work. And if we do any work out of desire, out of ego, with motive, then that is ordinary work. Then the fourth question is there any difference between the two? Yes. So ordinary work people do will be tired. So Lord demands from man that we should be the instrument, the faultless instrument. If we will be egoless and desireless, then the God will use us for his greater world action, greatest world action. He will use us as instrument. If we will be instrument of the divine, then we'll learn how to move the consciousness from psychic to spiritual plane. Then we'll learn to universalize our psychic and spiritual being. We learn to universalize it them. And if we learn the lesson more sincerely, then we'll be able to move the consciousness between the Supreme Self and inconscient self, and bridge the gulf between different planes of consciousness. That is important, so that is the task. Then now the fifth question is, what are the nature of divine worker? So if one is an instrument of the divine, then he's a divine worker. So he's having sevenfold personality. So divine worker is having sevenfold personality. You will develop sevenfold personality. That is the nature of the divine worker. So first personality is freedom from ego by opening the spiritual being. Second personality is freedom from desire by opening the psychic being. Third personality is spiritual impersonality by opening universal being. His fourth personality is equality, samatha. Fifth personality is spiritual ease. Fifth personality is peace, shanti. Sixth personality is spiritual ease. And seventh personality is joy and laughter of the soul. So the nature of the spiritual worker, that he will have the sevenfold personality. So the seventh personality is joy and laughter of the soul. That means soul will live in intense joy. That is the normal state of a man that is identified. So a traditional sadhak utilizes this exceeding joy as a passage of preparation to depart to Paramdham of supreme abode. Integral yoga proposes that exceeding joy and laughter of the soul is the right normal condition of luminous soul for confronting with world ignorance, falsehood, suffering and death. Without confronting with world adversity, if a sadhaka of integral yoga will prefer to remain exclusively preoccupied with triple soul's ecstatic state, then that is identified as laziness and violation of his integral sincerity. So these seven personalities are extensively discussed in the book, the Bhagavad Gita and Integral Yoga. So these five questions that I have discussed briefly, these five questions. So these are extensively developed in the book, so we can refer that also. So these five questions were asked by Debasis, or Debasis has asked these questions. So now we'll come to the next five questions. Next five questions were, these were asked by Arup. So the question is how to go beyond the lower nature by increasing sattvic nature. The Arup has asked this question, how to do practice reconciliation of spirit with matter. So this is Arup's first question. Please explain how to practice reconciliation of spirit with matter. So in integral yoga, there are six divine call. The first divine call is that Jivatma's union with Paramatma. So Sri Aurobindo speaks that this, the first divine call can be practiced anywhere in the world. One, any profession, one will remain and one can experience this reconciliation of spirit with matter. That is the first divine call. And if one is established in the first divine call, then the second divine call comes, that is Jivatma's union with Paraprakriti. So this is also universalization of consciousness. So this second divine call, when one will receive the second divine call, for him the world will not be suitable for him, because he will do some higher work. Through him, some higher work will be executed. So for him, some isolation, some ashram living will be more preferable. And Bhagavad Gita speaks that a traditional yogi, that means who has experienced Jivatma's union with Paramatma, he experiences, after many baths of preparation, he becomes this integral yogi with the realization of this cosmic consciousness, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. This is the dynamic state of the divine. So a traditional yogi, after many baths of preparation, realizes that this whole world is Brahman. This realizes he gets. So this is the second divine call. So I can refer this from one of the spirits, Sri Aurobindo's letter, that Sri Aurobindo had the second divine call in the Alipur jail. Sri Aurobindo had already realized in full two of the four great realizations on which his yoga and his spiritual philosophy are founded. The first he had gained while meditating with the Maharashtrian yogi Vishnu Bhaskar Lele in Baroda in 1918, it was the realization of silent, spaceless, timeless Brahman gained after complete and abiding stillness of the whole consciousness, and attended at first by an overwhelming feeling and perception of the total unreality of the world, though this feeling was disappeared after his second realization. So in the first realization, if one will realize this Jivatma's union with Paramatma, then you will realize also this Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. You will realize that the spirit is real and this world is an illusion. There is an appearance in integral yoga. And the second realization, which was that of the cosmic consciousness and of the divine as all beings and all that in which happened in Alipur jail, and of which he has spoken in his speech at Uttarpara. This is the second divine call. This, if one will pursue integral yoga, then the second divine call you will get. That is Jivatma's union with Para Prakriti. That means his psychic being and spiritual being are universalized. The Bhagavad Gita speaks that after many births, one, a yogi, will realize this yet. But in integral yoga, what Sri Aurobindo has hinted, that in this birth, one can also realize this cosmic consciousness. If one will be sincere enough, then in this birth one can realize the cosmic consciousness. So in Savitri there are examples of this cosmic consciousness. The calm delight that waits one soul to all, this is the experience. Then another experience, his inner self grew near to other selves and bore the kinship's weight, a common tie, yet stood untouched, king of itself alone. Those who receive the second divine call, the grace and protection of the Divine Mother are with them. The more complete your faith, sincerity and surrender, more will grace and protection be with you. And when the grace and protection of the Divine Mother are with you, what is there that can touch you or whom need you fear? A little of it even will carry you through all difficulties, obstacles and dangers. Surrounded by its full presence, you can go securely on your way because it is hers. Careless of all men, unaffected by any hostility, however powerful, whether from this world or from worlds invisible. Its touch can turn difficulties into opportunities. So this dynamic divine, so if one will realize that, then he can solve any problem, world problem. Its touch can turn difficulties into opportunities, failure into success, and weakness into unfaltering strength. You will know, see and feel that you are a person and power found by her, out of herself, put out from her for the play, and yet always safe in her being, of her being, consciousness of her consciousness, force of her force, ananda of her ananda. So the mother book is that book that when one receives the second divine call, when one's spiritual being is open and the spiritual being is dynamized, then you will enter contact with the four spiritual, mediatric spiritual mother powers. So when this experience will come, his oneness with the divine must be extended to oneness with others, which is a fundamental oneness in soul and spirit and not oneness of ignorance with their mind, life and body and ego. Because the latter oneness of nature can arrive at and matured state of sadhana in universalized consciousness, in which he is united, unified more and more with other minds, other lives, other bodies, than the organism we call ourselves, producing effects not only on our own moral and mental being and on the subjective being of others, and even on the physical world and its events, by means nearer to the divine contact than those possible to our egoistic capacity. It is understood that the transformation of nature, so if one will get the second divine call, then this is the transformation of nature will be swift. So since all are created from the divine source, so all are going through transformation of nature unconsciously. So how unconsciously? Suppose, for example, suppose for example, our foundation day, February 1st is our foundation day, then August 1st, that is our temple foundation day. So in those days, the supramental force is dynamized. So those who attend, they receive the supramental touch, divine touch, brief touch, but they are unable to hold that touch. So that whatever flame is born in them, then that is extinguished. The next day it will be extinguished because their vessel is not pure enough to hold that force. So all are going through transformation unconsciously. So those who read in this school, suppose our integral school, they receive the divine touch. but not the divine's embrace. They don't receive, they receive the divine's touch. So for a brief period they receive the divine touch, but they cannot hold, because for holding that they have to purify the vessel, and that preparation is not there. So how we will practice this reconciliation of spirit with matter? First we have to make our foundation strong. That means Jivatma's union with Paramatma, static divine union you will experience. If this static divine union is prolonged, then it will be dynamic divine union. So how we will prolong the static divine union? If we have sincerity, faith, sincerity and surrender, then the static divine union will be prolonged too. And through prolongation of static divine union, one will experience dynamic divine union. Dynamic means there's Maheshwari, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, and Mahasaraswati, they will be active. So this is the practical, means first our psychic and spiritual being should open. And the spiritual being, if it opens, then it has to be prolonged. This divine union should be prolonged. If it is prolonged, then it will dynamize itself. If they dynamize, then it will work as Shakti. It will enter our mind, life, and body, and subconscious and unconscious as Shakti. It will enter. And if that will work, that is called transformation work. So all are going through brief experience of transformation, but it can be swift. If the vessel is ready, then it will hold that divine dynamic divine force for more period, prolonged period, and will experience prolonged transformation experience. And then the Aru's third question is how to know it and implement it. To live liberty of the spirit beyond the fixed law of Shastra. So Shastra is good for the developing souls, child souls, and this written truth or the law of ashram living is obligatory for the ashramites. The ashramites are also child souls. And for what you have hinted in the synthesis of yoga, that for the adult souls, this fixed law of ashram living or fixed law of the Shastra are not obligatory. So that is for them, the Sarvadharman Paritejya Mamekam Saranam Braja, this law will be applicable, because there is a law of the psychic being, there is a law of spiritual being, and there is a law of supramental being. They are the freedom. If one is established in psychic, spiritual, supramental, then he's a freedom, he's a Jivan Mukta, he's a liberated soul, and you will get direction. Whatever work, everything, for everything you will get direction. And if you will execute that direction, that is the sign of a free man, and he's beyond this law of the Shastra. So the Bhagavad Gita also speaks a sadhaka to go beyond Sabda Brahmati Vartate. And Shrotavyasya Shrutasya Cha, whatever we have heard about from the scripture, that to go beyond that. And Sabda Brahmati Vartate, that means whatever is uttered in the Shastra, in the written truth, one has to go beyond that. That is the sign of a liberated soul. So the liberated soul is guided by his psychic being, spiritual being, and supramental being. That law is applicable for him, and no written standard is necessary. But for the developing souls, for child souls, the fixed law of the religion, fixed law of the Shastra, they are helpful for his development. Then his fourth question, please define to reject tamas from our body, what are the methods? So it is identified as a difficult work. So the difficult task of integral yoga is that to discover the psychic and spiritual being. And more difficult task is this to transform this tamas, rajas and sattva. And the most difficult task of integral yoga is to in the spirit has the capacity to go behind the time and ahead of the time. So if the spirit will go behind the time, so it will go to our past of this birth, past of our past births, it will go and it will transform all the obscure nature, whatever obscurity is there in tamasic mind, rajasic mind, sattvic mind, and these minds are having the root in the subconscious and inconscious. There it will travel and transform. That is the most difficult task of integral yoga. For beginners, for us, how we will transform the tamas and rajas? So the Bhagavad Gita is, as Sri Aurobindo is speaking in the synthesis of yoga, that we have to identify our imperfections. All our imperfections are there in the tamasic mind, rajasic mind, and sattvic mind. So we should have a full account of our imperfection. And these imperfections have come from our religion, from our caste, from our parents. These imperfections has come because from their blood we are created. So we should also have a full account that what is the limitation of our religion, what is the limitation of our caste, what is the limitation of our parents, because the lower nature comes to individual from the parents. So yes, he should have an account. Then he will offer them. If he will offer them, then that will lead him towards perfection. So these three, tamasic mind, rajasic mind, sattvic mind, they represent soul-slaying truth. And this psychic, spiritual, and supramental, they represent the soul-saving truth. So we have to learn the lesson, what are the soul-slaying truth and what are the soul-saving truth. For example, in Savitri, the Savitri's birth mother, whatever she spoke was soul-slaying truth. And in Savitri, whatever the death god spoke, they are soul-slaying truth. Whatever Savitri spoke, whatever King Ashwapati realized, and whatever Narada spoke, they are soul-saving truth. If we read more and more those books and concentrate, then we will identify what is soul-slaying truth and what is soul-saving truth. We have to reject the soul-slaying truth and soul-saving, and we have to accept the soul-saving truth. We have to accept and we have to reject the soul-slaying truth. So Bhagavad Gita proposes that we have to be a witness, sakhi of our tamasic mind, rajasic mind, sattvic mind. If we be a witness and we will not give support to their action, then they will become dissolved, and by their dissolution, one will go to Gunatit state. And synthesis of yoga has given another proposal, that new method, that we have to be single-minded. If we are single-minded, that means we'll concentrate only on the divine, then this tamasic mind, rajasic mind, sattvic mind will become weak. If they will be weak, then one will go to Gunatit state. So we have to train our mind to be single-minded. So there is a line in Savitri that her consciousness grew alone of him. That means in Savitri's mind, Satyavan was only there. Satyavan is the representative symbol of Paramatma. So that single-mindedness one has to develop. One has to develop that one is everywhere. If he will seek only the divine, then that is single-mindedness. So if we will identify our tamasic mind, sattvic, rajasic mind, then we have to move the consciousness. If we will move the consciousness, if we will reject them, then we will arrive at sattvic mind. If sattva will increase, that will lead us to Gunatit state. This is the method. So we have to learn the movement of consciousness. If tamas is active in us, then we have to try to go to rajas. If rajas is active, we will try to go to sattva. Then if sattva will increase, then that is the passage to gunatit state. So how to raise the consciousness in our daily life to overcome the tamas, rajas and sattva and leave only sattva to trigunatit state? So if we want to raise our consciousness, we have to give importance to very small action and a very insignificant action, insignificant thought and insignificant association. We have to give very important. That means we have to implement the consecration in them. We have to practice consecration in very small work, very small thought. People consecrate them, then its importance will be immeasurable. It can be used very small thought, very small action. If it is rightly consecrated, then it will call down the mighty divine force. It can be a means to call down the mighty divine force. Then our daily life will be very significant, and it will be very vast and very meaningful action and very consciousness. There will be ecstasy, delight, and harmony and perfection. Everything will be there in daily life. All action can be transformed into divine action. All mundane thought can be transformed into divine wisdom, and all human love can be transformed into divine love. This is the message of integral yoga, that karma yoga one will pursue to transform all ordinary work into divine work. Jnana yoga you will pursue to transform all mundane knowledge into divine knowledge. And bhakti yoga you will practice all emotion to the divine, so that all emotional human love will be transformed into the divine love. Then our fifth question is how to raise consciousness in our daily life. Okay. To overcome the tamas, rajas, sattva, and to live in only in sattva or trigunatit state of consciousness. This I have discussed. So now we'll come to Satyakama's five questions. So he also has asked how to go beyond the lower nature by increasing sattvic nature. So Sri Aurobindo has identified, also the Bhagavad Gita has identified, the greatest problem of humanity is his lower nature. So if he cannot go beyond the lower nature, he has to live in mother's language, he has to live like cats and dogs. And Sri Aurobindo's language, you will have to live like insects, crawling insect he has to live like. So this lower nature binds a man. So that is with everybody, that is the problem. So most of the human beings live with their lower nature. And the avatar comes to liberate man from the lower nature and turn his ordinary action into divine action. That is the role of avatars. So how we will go beyond the lower nature? That he will turn towards the mother and Sri Aurobindo. They are present in the subtle physical, very close to our Earth's atmosphere. If we will open towards them, then they will liberate us from the yoke of the lower nature. That is the advantage of avatar. So if you are fortunate to have a living spiritual teacher, then also, so he will help also to go beyond the lower nature. Because in Savitri it is projected that Savitri had both this her psychic being is projected as Virgin Mother, and outwardly King Ashwapati was his guru, and also Satyavan was his guru. So they are also so they within them the Virgin Mother power, they are from outside. That means Virgin Mother from within and Virgin Mother from outside. Both the influence are necessary for sadhana. But in Savitri it is reflected that one has to live in the influence of his psychic being, which is a Virgin Mother power. His spiritual being is also Virgin Mother power, and also he should live in the influence of his spiritual fosterer. So if he will find a spiritual fosterer, then he will also represent the virgin force. And these both the influence are very nourishing for his soul's growth. So Satyagama has also asked what is integral purity. Also he has asked the question. So in integral yoga there are sevenfold purity, and they are multiplied into 321 faculties of purity one has to develop. Sevenfold purity, that means they are divided as physical virginity, then vital virginity, then mental virginity, then psychic virginity, spiritual virginity, then supramental virginity, then this bliss virginity. So there are sevenfold purities there. If we will do sadhana, then this sevenfold purity will manifest in us. So mother defined that in spiritual life is one is always a virgin. So if an individual's psychic being or spiritual being is open, then we have to treat him as virgin bridal, we have to treat him. So mother has certified that those whose psychic being and spiritual being are open, they are virgin bridals. Then here I will read one mother's message that how we will deal with this, our lower nature. So here mother has asked us to do some resolution. From the negative, this is mother's message. From the negative point of view, I mean the difficulties to be overcome. One of the most serious obstacle is that the ignorant and falsifying outer consciousness, the ordinary consciousness, legitimizes all the so-called physical laws. All the physical laws, the mother declared that they are not true. Suppose the law of gravity, they are not true. All the physical laws, causes, effects, and consequences, all the science has discovered physically and materially, law of the body, for example, its needs, its health, its nourishment, all those things, they have such a solid, compact, established, and concrete reality that it appears absolutely unquestionable. All this is an unquestionable reality to the consciousness, a reality that remains independent and absolute even in the face of eternal divine reality. So they are so absolute that even before the eternal divine reality, they seem absolute. Well, to be able to cure that which of all the obstacles is the greatest, I mean, habit of putting spiritual life on one side and on material life on the other, of acknowledging the right of the material law to exist. One must make a resolution never to legitimize any of these movements at any cost. So mother has called to make a resolution. There is a truth of the physical mind. This law of gravity is the law of the physical mind. So if a mango will fall, it will fall on the ground. That is an unquestionable law. So there is a law of physical mind. If physical mind will be absent, then the gravitational law will not work. So there are instances of the people falling from great height, but they are survived. How they survive? For them, the law of gravity is cancelled. So similarly, we have many laws of the tamasic mind, rajasic mind, sattvic mind. So those laws, we have to practice not to legitimize them because they are not truth. So one must make a resolution never to legitimize any of these movements at any cost. So whatever death god spoke to Savitri, that was not acceptable to Savitri. Because all this, well, that was the law of the physical mind, vital mind, that law. There's all soul-slaying truth. So never to legitimize any soul-slaying truth. Never to, that means we should not accept, we have always to reject falsehood. What is false that we have to reject. So the second question of Satyakam is, in integral yoga, how the sattvic nature is replaced with equality and psychic consciousness. So if we practice the Buddhi Jogo, so the mother book, whatever Sri Aurobindo spoke in the second chapter of the mother book, that is Buddhi Jogo, rejection. So in integral Jogo, rejection of lower nature is given much importance. Sri Aurobindo insisted to first reject the lower nature, reject falsehood, reject ignorance. If that is done, then equality will come to the front, and if equality will come to the front, then the psychic being will be active. If one remains in equality state, then psychic being will remain in the front. That will replace the psychic, and that will replace the sattvic nature. So if we learn to persistently reject the lower nature and persistently learn to the consecration with the help of our purified intellect, then the psychic being will come to the front, and that will replace the sattvic nature. If the psychic being will be the front, then our capacity to do work, capacity to think, capacity to love will multiply. That no ordinary human being can think. Our capacity will multiply for action, for thought, and our love will multiply. Then we will know that our psychic being has opened. If the spiritual being will open, then one can live in isolation for indefinite period without doing any work. If one can stay in isolation for indefinite period, then you will know that his spiritual being has opened. He's fit for Jnana Yoga, pursuing Jnana Yoga. In integral Yoga, the action, in Jnana Yoga, action is not renounced. The desire behind the action, ego behind the action, attachment behind the action, they are renounced. That is also the message of the Bhagavad Gita. Then third question is that, what is integral yoga's moksha or integral liberation? How can it be achieved? So you wanted to know what is actually this moksha is a term used for this traditional yoga. In integral yoga, moksha is what is not used. So that integral liberation is there. So that is we understand as integral yoga's moksha. So this is the moksha. This purification is the condition of liberation, mukti. Mukti of the Gita's yoga is identified in negative sense as a liberation from four elements of desire, ego, dualities, and three gunas. It is release of self-extinction, a self-drowning in the absolute, a dissolution of natural existence into some indefinable absolute, moksha. Mukti of integral yoga in negative sense is the desireless, egoless, equal mind, soul, and spirit, and freedom from three gunas. Nistrigunya. Its positive sense of freedom is to be universal in soul, transcendentally one in spirit, and with God and possessed of the highest divine nature. Thus, in integral yoga, the liberation from untransformed impure nature in the quiescent bliss of the spirit, and a further liberation and transformation of nature by supreme kinetic bliss, power, and knowledge are indispensable. And the divine union of Supreme Spirit and Supreme Nature is the integral liberation. So one is integrally liberated when his Supreme Soul and Supreme Nature, they experience union in our heart center. When Paramatma and Paraprakriti, they come down to our heart center and they unite there, that is the supreme liberation of integral yoga. There are all kinds of freedom, mental freedom. This is mother speaks. There are all kinds of freedom, mental freedom, vital freedom, spiritual freedom, which are the fruits of successive masteries. But a completely new freedom has become possible with supramental manifestation. It is the freedom of the body. This mother speaks that in integral yoga, there is a freedom of the body. One will be liberated from the body will be liberated from all laws. So this is the then the fourth question of Satyakam is that how the fourfold spiritual forces, Chattvaro Manavastata, and their integration and reconciliation are felt. So it is hinted in the Bhagavad Gita that we are having fourfold soul force and fourfold spiritual force. So spiritual force is the fourfold is this Maheshwari, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, and Mahasaraswati. So if you reconcile this Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga, then that is possible. This fourfold soul force will be active. Spiritual force will be active. So reconciliation, how it will be done? Our mind is exclusive. Then all the three yogas, they are antagonist towards each other. Karma Yoga is antagonist towards Jnana and Bhakti Yoga. Jnana Yoga is antagonist towards Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. And Bhakti Yoga is antagonist towards this Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. So whatever antagonism is there, that we have to renounce that antagonism. And the Bhagavad Gita speaks of developing the double sincerity because mind is exclusive. It can concentrate only one yoga also. So it has asked mind to learn the lesson of double sincerity. That means it has to learn the lesson to first, it has to reconcile Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. It has to reconcile. Then it has to learn the lesson to reconcile Jnana and Bhakti Yoga. Then after the psychic and spiritual being are universalized, then you will develop multiple concentration. That means at a time simultaneously you can do Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga simultaneously. That means his will turn towards the divine will, his personal will, his intellect will turn towards the divine wisdom, and his human love will turn towards the divine love simultaneously. And if that is possible, that is yoga of self-perfection, because simultaneously one will do three yogas at a time, and that is possible in multiple concentration. And that means his consciousness is universalized, and in that consciousness, this four mother power will be active, the Maheshwari, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, and Mahasaraswati, and they will try to reconcile. This four mother power will reconcile. Knowledge will reconcile with action, and action will reconcile with harmony, and then harmony will reconcile with knowledge, they will reconcile. And when all the four reconciliations are possible, all the four soul force, then it will lead towards perfection, towards transformation of nature. And integration and reconciliation is possible. Then his fifth question is, how can we achieve integral purity through yoga of self-perfection? So integral purity, I have already discussed that we have sevenfold purity we have to practice. That is physical virginity, then vital virginity, mental virginity. They are extensively discussed in the book. There is psychic virginity, then they are perennial virgin. Psychic being is a perennial virgin. Then the spiritual, so then the supramental, then bliss. The sevenfold purity, if we develop, then that is integral purity. And yoga of self-perfection, through yoga of self-perfections, is also the yoga of transformation also. So if we'll do these three yogas and we dynamize them, then all the four mother powers will be active. If the four, all the spiritual mother powers will be active, then that will lead also to transformation, this purification will take place. What is integral purity? That is very important. So Bhagavad Gita speaks that also Guru Prasad had asked me how purity is possible. So Bhagavad Gita speaks that these three things one should not renounce. Yajna, Dana, Tapa, they purify the wise. So the Bhagavad Gita speaks that we have to practice yajna. Yajna means sacrifice. So from moment to moment, all the time and all the circumstance should be act of sacrifice. Whatever work we will do, any ordinary work, we have to sacrifice it. We have to practice it. That is yajna. Then tapa, dana. Dana means we have to practice the sattvic giving. We have to renounce this tamasic giving and rajasic giving. We have to, if we give with motive, then that is rajasic giving. If we give in a wrong vessel, then that is tamasic giving, that we have to practice. If we give in the right place, then that is sattvic giving. Yajna dana tapa tapasya, this self-control, we have to practice rigorous self-control. Self-control through intellect, with the help. Intellect is the capacity to renounce, reject the lower nature. So that we have to do sincerely. If we'll do that sincerely, then that is tapas, sattvic tapasya. So in Bhagavad Gita, we have to, if we do these three things, then the vessel will be purified. Then we have to purify the vessel through reconciliation of karma and jnana yoga. And through, if we rightly reconcile karma and jnana yoga, then our vessel will be entirely purified. If the vessel is entirely purified, then it is fit for the supramental force to descend. So if one is very pure, very strong and very pure, then that vessel, supramental force, will work. Then he will be open towards divine love. And divine love is the greatest power. So there are two divine power, universal divine love and transcendent divine love. The universal divine, both are to be active in the vessel. So if the universal divine love will be active, then the distant souls, unknown souls, will be liberated by his influence. If the transcendent divine love is active, then his action will be in the subconscious and inconscient. It will act. It will purify them. It will enlighten the darkness. They are the hostile force. It has the capacity to slay the hostile forces. Divine love has the capacity. So today we conclude with this. ॐ तत्सत्